Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
Yes! It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Tuesday, December 18th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, how you feeling as we now close the book on week 15 and go into week 16, which is known as the Fantasy Super Bowl? We were talking before the show, both of us will have championships on the line this weekend.
My Adidas went to the Fantasy Super Bowl, and listening to the Roto Experts, I know I'm going to roll.
That's what's up. You know, Scotty, my Twitter timeline is filled right now with people saying, you know, for example, Michael Vincent on Twitter hit me up literally like after the final yesterday, this morning. Spitting Speeds, the last 2 years I finished in the bottom two. After discovering Stats Over Beats, I've made my first playoff fantasy championship this year. Thank you. And then he asked me, you know, who does he not start? Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, or Marlon Mack in his Super Bowl? But there's a lot of tweets and tags like this of people very excited getting into their fantasy championship. You know, we got a good show for you today. We're going to take the 2 hours, if you're listening, both Roto Experts in the Morning and Fantasy Sports Today, to break it down. Scott, we got waiver wires. You know, we got waiver wires to run. We also have, like, the mental approach of how you are going to set, you know, your fantasy lineup, because a lot of people get very excited. You know, you got to act like you've been there before. And then we'll also reset the NFL playoff picture. And, you know, we'll also take your phone calls. A lot of people that are into the Fantasy Super Bowl, you know, want to hear directly from the King and get your advice. The number to call is 844-843-6879. We'll open the phone lines a little bit later on. But, Scott, we got to get into some of the news and notes, right? Some of the injuries as well, because there are, you know, there's big information out there. So let's dive on into that, and then we'll break down Monday Night Football as well. The Falcons put Ito Smith on IR, Scott. And so here's my question. You know, we've been talking about these Falcon running backs. Tevin Coleman had a big 145-yard effort last week. Do you think he's in position to get kind of workhorse production now?
I think he is, but I don't know if he can do anything with it. You know, Tevin Coleman has been a disappointment for most of the year. He really had an opportunity to step forward when Devonta Freeman went down. And we've only seen, like, really one outstanding game from him all year long. So, you know, you can consider him for a flex in your fantasy Super Bowl, but I don't think you can have any solid confidence in him.
Right. So I guess the question is, you know, do you think it's going to be, like, I almost have confidence in any. I understand it's the difference of opportunity and, you know, skill, right? But if everybody else is gone, you know, we've liked guys like Elijah Maguire when there's nobody left in that running back room. Is that going to be the situation for the Falcons, or is there somebody else that's going to be in a timeshare with Tevin?
I'm sure they'll have somebody else, you know, who can take a few change of pace carries, but he's going to be the lead back. But just because he gets that opportunity doesn't mean that he can really run with it. As we've seen all season long, he's, you know, he had the opportunity when Freeman went out to, you know, to clearly become the lead back and have Ito Smith play a secondary role, and he really didn't run with that at all whatsoever. just because he's a workhorse doesn't mean you know, that he's going to do anything with it. They'll probably use Brian Hill to give him some change of pace here, but I don't know that I can trust Tevin Coleman at all. You know, my fantasy Super Bowl, I'll consider him as a flex. It all depends on what your other options are. But, you know, if you look at the game log, it's been very, very unimpressive. You know, this is a guy in past years, they've used him at the goal line, et cetera. He's only got 3 rushing touchdowns this year.
Okay. And
that was his 2nd 100-yard game of the season. And the other one came in week 2. You know, there were so many. You look at week 12 and 13 combined, he had 14 rushing yards.
So maybe it sounds like, Scott, you're not putting a lot of faith, even with maybe an increased workload on some level. It just sounds like you're just still not a fan of Tevin Coleman and his skill set right now.
I was coming into the year, but, you know, you figure he's going into free agency, et cetera.
Right.
But look, it's not something that I have a heck of a lot of confidence in. You know, they're playing the Panthers on a short week. You saw the Saints running backs do well against them last night, and you know, but I think there's some. You can use them as a flex, but I can't feel confident about it. You know, looking at the game log.
All right, in a somewhat similar situation, you know, Aaron Jones. You know, so Ito Smith is gone. Aaron Jones is also banged up. They're saying it could be a couple of weeks, and, you know, that's pretty much the end of the Packers season, right? So it looks like almost maybe Jamal Williams is in position to have a similar role as Tevin Coleman, and the Packers just claimed Capri Bibbs off of, you know, waivers or, you know, off the street. So, like, when the Falcons are going Coleman and somebody, at least the Packers, we know who that other someone is. It's Capri Bibbs. But Jamal Williams, I think, is primed to be almost, in essence, an every down back. Do you have any faith in Jamal Williams in a plug-in scenario in your fantasy championship against the Jets this weekend?
Somebody else you could certainly consider for a flex. You know, with all the issues at wide receiver that they have, the Packers certainly seem to be turning towards the running game a little bit more this year. And Jamal Williams with 12 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. That's certainly not bad. I don't expect upside from Jamal Williams, but, you know, I think he's a respectable flex play this upcoming week.
Let me ask you something. I'm going into one of my fantasy championships, right? And remember I told you that I had a sneaky suspicion with Darren Sproles in one of my semifinals? And the only reason I had to go to that, Scott, is because my running backs were, you know, literally Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Kerryon Johnson, Spencer Ware, guys that were banged up. My question for you is, if I have an option like Jamal Williams, because I'll be at the top of the waiver claim, and I like Jamal Williams better than, say, oh, I don't know, Kalen Ballage, you know, do I go with a guy like Jamal Williams or one of these returning backs? Like, for example, let's say Kerryon Johnson is back this week. Let's say Spencer Ware is back this week. Do I just plug them right in, or might I lean towards a guy like Jamal Williams who may have an increased workload and opportunity, and at least I know he's healthy?
If Kerryon Johnson comes back, then he's healthy. So it's about who's
right,
the better fantasy running.
We always talk about the first week back, Scott.
I think we talk about that more for quarterbacks, you know, sometimes like that. If the Lions have kept out Kerryon Johnson this long, I can't imagine they would bring him back if he's not healthy. But I would have to. There's too much upside on Kerryon Johnson, and every player is different.
Yeah.
You know, some guys could really hit in their first game back. There's right. No way I would start Jamal Williams over Kerryon Johnson if Kerryon Johnson was back. But you know, the Lions are really not playing for anything. And to me, James Conner, I would definitely start him over Jamal Williams, because the Steelers have obviously been very cautious with him and have not rushed him back too early.
All right, well, hopefully I will be able to start James Conner and Kerryon Johnson back. That's a little bit more impressive than Sony Michel and Jamal
Williams.
You
haven't heard anything on Kerryon Johnson, and with the Lions not playing for anything, it's hard to have confidence in it. Yeah,
yeah, that's true. But at least James Conner, we know, will be playing. And like I said, another name that I have in there. Let me ask you this. Another name I have potentially coming back is Spencer Ware. But Damian Williams looked good. Do you think Spencer Ware might return to something of a timeshare if and when he is healthy?
I think it could be a timeshare. You know, we saw something of that the week before.
Right.
You know, Damian Williams is more explosive than Spencer Ware, And, I could see it being 60-40 in favor of Ware, even 55-35.
Yeah, but again, remember, they got a tough matchup. I think they have the Seattle.
They got the Seahawks on Sunday night.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And some of these other returning backs.
The Seahawks can be run on, but if they do get KJ Wright back this week, though, it certainly helps.
Interesting. Some of these other returning backs, for example, Melvin Gordon, who may come back, they got the Baltimore Ravens on a Saturday night, so that's a tough matchup as well. Scotty, I want to ask you about two more quick news and notes here on Roto Experts in the Morning that I saw that kind of rated for me. They made a point to say, at least yesterday, that Carson Wentz was not going to IR just yet. You know, they're talking about this back injury, Nick Foles is in. They kind of are splitting the difference. They're saying that, yes, Nick Foles will get the next start for Philly, but they're not putting Wentz on IR. The way I read this, Scott, is that they're only saying that because they are still technically, mathematically, a contender still for the playoffs. If they were a non-contender, like out of the playoff math, you know, they would be sending Wentz to IR, in my opinion, the same way a lot of teams do on a Monday after they realize it. But because they still have a glimmer of a hope, I think they're trying to hold out hope that, you know, if they do go down the road and they, you know, want to try to, shoot him up or make it right so that they can run him out there, they still have that opportunity. I believe that if and when the Eagles fall out of it, say next week, they would in fact make that move of Wentz to IR. Do you agree?
Yeah, I certainly agree with that assessment. You know, maybe they can get him back for the playoffs here. They were saying that they heard that some of the reports came back positive. So I don't want to think they want to rule him out for the rest of the regular season and the playoffs just yet. You know, maybe holding out some hope there, you know, that he heals quickly.
Yeah, and now I want to ask you real quick about the Chargers here, Scotty. I'm hearing that Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen, you know, with a knee and a hip, respectively, they're saying, quote-unquote, a legit chance for them to play this week against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I know, Scotty, that, you know, we don't have all the information. We got to see what, you know, MRIs say and practice reports say. But talk to me about the difference in this offense if they do have these guys versus if they don't. But at the same time, without Gordon and Keenan Allen, they were able to get a comeback win at Kansas City. So the question begs, how much does it matter?
Well, I'm not expecting to see Keenan Allen. I mean, inside injuries was saying 2 to 3 week optimal recovery time, right after the injury happened. But, you know, Melvin Gordon is one of the best, very best running backs in the NFL. And Baltimore's tough against running backs, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to win the matchup here. And, you know, you want to see Melvin Gordon back if you're in your fantasy Super Bowl. Maybe comes a contrarian DFS play, you know, because this is a big game on Saturday night here, and they want to have their best player available for it because, you know, there's a legitimate chance, you know, that if they win Saturday night that the Chiefs could lose at Seattle on Sunday night, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Chargers are the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, and the fact that they play Saturday night, you know, kind of this idea of if they get a W, it puts pressure on the Chiefs. You know what I mean? If they're both playing in the same window, say at both at 4 o'clock on Sunday, you know, maybe you scoreboard watching, that sort of stuff. But if the Chargers get a win and already in the clubhouse kind of with 12 wins, it certainly puts the pressure on the Kansas City Chiefs in their trip up to the Pacific Northwest. And listen, now, especially because the Seahawks stubbed their toe against San Francisco last week, they're, you know, they have a number of teams right behind them with 7 wins in the NFC, Minnesota, Philadelphia among them. Scotty, the other thing I want to mention, though, about these Chargers, I don't know if you saw this, but Hunter Henry returned to practice for the Chargers yesterday, Scott. To me, this is a huge potential help. Of course, not in fantasy because he's not going to be ready. But this now, as you know, with people who come off the PUP list, this signals the beginning of now a 21-day window where the Chargers will decide if they want to activate this guy or not. Like, we talk about trading deadline deals and teams getting better. These Chargers could get Melvin Gordon back, could get Keenan Allen back, and, you know, in a universe, you know, which you've just said that they may get a bye still, they may be able to have Hunter Henry back for them at tight end for the playoffs, Scott. This would be a huge help to the Chargers in a point in time where players are beat up, run down, and dropping like flies. The Chargers may get a Pro Bowl tight end back.
Yeah, it's potentially impactful, but at the same time with the long layoff, you know, and not playing the entire year, the preseason, the regular season, et cetera, and having to get into game shape, you know, what is Hunter Henry going to look like? I think, you know, that's an unknown.
It is an unknown, but even if just out on the field, even as a decoy, Scott, you know what I mean? Like his presence on third downs in the red zone, if nothing else, Scott, has to be respected and defended. Even if he doesn't like look like 100%, the defense still has to put some attention to him, and then freeing up potentially Phillip Rivers for some of those, you know, jump balls from Mike Williams in the end zone. Between Mike Williams, Antonio Gates, and maybe even a Hunter Henry with some of their other weapons, the Chargers are primed to be very dangerous in the red zone.
Yeah, that's a good point about Henry, about the defensive respect. You know, that's one thing I certainly would. About using him in DFS in the NFL playoffs, I'd have to see how he looks, like, in his first game. Like, if they play in a divisional round, if he looks good, then I'll use him, you know, in the conference finals, you know, in the conference championships. But, you know, with Antonio Gates, they at least have to respect him, I think. But Antonio Gates really doesn't produce anymore. But it's a nice addition. They have 3 weeks to activate him. I was thinking originally if you have a Week 17 Super Bowl, pick him up and see if he comes back. But then you can't really have confidence if his first game back is Week 17.
Yeah, no, I don't think you would do that, right? If you're in a situation where you're playing Week 17, I don't think you're going to dust someone off the shelf and just insert them right away. I'm thinking more about what this could mean for the Chargers' prospects in the Super Bowl. You know, when you see things like futures bets, the Chargers are going to start gaining kind of potential there, and their odds may start changing. So if you like the Chargers, like we have been talking about, you may want to get shares of them now. Scotty, one other piece of news that I really want to touch on in this last, like, you know, minute before we go to break. And when we come back, we are going to break down Monday Night Football. We're going to break down the waiver wire heading into Week 16. We'll talk about your fantasy championship, and we'll talk about the Super Bowl and the NFL playoffs as well on Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott, over the weekend, did you see this story? Amari Cooper said that it was actually Mark Davis, the owner, who wanted them to trade Amari away, that it wasn't Gruden. I feel like this is interesting. I feel like the Raiders are going to all sorts of lengths to really insulate Gruden. You know, they fire GM Reggie McKenzie. Players are coming out saying, no, it wasn't Gruden, it was the owner. It seems like they're trying to insulate Gruden from all of the hatred and all of the blame of this dumpster fire season and the decisions that got them there.
I could see that, but I can't see how it applies to Amari Cooper really at all. Amari Cooper is gone from the Raiders.
Yeah.
Why is he going to try to care about insulating John Gruden?
Fair, but, you know, the slings and arrows certainly went towards the owner instead of to Gruden. I just think it's a weird story. Why is he talking in the first place? Then they have a problem
with the owner then.
Maybe. You know, I just think it continues to be weird.
Gruden seems to be a player's coach.
Maybe that's part of what it is. You know, everybody likes the Chucky stuff. But it's interesting that, you know, we hear so much stuff, and it's just not Gruden, you know? It's McKenzie. It's otherwise. But I digress. When we come back, Scotty and I break down a 12-9 final on Monday Night Football and why I'm a little bit excited about facing a certain player from this game next week.
Yes. A merry holiday to you and yours. Ebenezer Scrooge here. No, I'm not here to tell you about the importance of the holiday season, I assure you. I'm here to tell you that during this festive time of the year, you cannot end up like my fantasy teams, quite dead, as Jacob Marley. But there is a chance at hope for you. Go to your nearest mobile telephone app store and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. For free, you get the help of many fantasy analysts with as much wisdom as the fantasy spirits of past, present, and yet to come. Download the app, listen to their words, and win fantasy matches so you can decrease your fantasy league surplus population. If you want the merry feelings of the holiday season all year, then you must download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Otherwise, be forced to wear the fantasy chains of Faria that you forged in life.
Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And listen, Scott, if you want to be the next DFS legend, try DailyRoto.com for free this holiday season. That's right, it's free. free advice from fantasy pros, free NBA projections for DFS, free optimizer access, and free everything else you need to dominate DFS basketball this holiday season. Stuff your stockings with cold, hard cash and get free access to Daily Roto with the promo code DRHOLIDAYS to access your free trial. That's DailyRoto.com, promo code DRHOLIDAYS. All right there, Scotty. Listen, big-time game last night in the NFC playoff picture as the New Orleans Saints get a W 12-9. They go to 12-2 on the season, and in my opinion, they now have a stranglehold on the number one seed for the NFC playoffs. With them at 12-2, the Rams at 11-3, but the Saints with the tiebreaker, it in effect means that the Saints' magic number is one with two games left to play. One more Saints win or one more Rams loss will lock up the NFC playoffs going through the dome in New Orleans. And I got to tell you, Scotty, that is one of the most, you know, daunting home field advantages in the entire NFL. In my opinion, Scotty, we'll get into the stats and the players in a second, but the Saints now have a magic number of one for the NFC playoffs to go through the dome. And I'll tell you right now, Scott, if the NFC playoffs are going through the dome, I'm picking the Saints to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, usually when you see, you know, some of these dominant teams and they get home field advantage, it's really hard to defeat him on his own turf. And I think, you know, we well all know the narratives of you know, which teams, you know, are really hard to defeat at home. I think we saw when the Falcons, you know, had home field advantage too.
Sure.
They were tough. You know, when Seattle had home field advantage, they were tough as well. You know, in the past, New England could go anywhere. Anywhere and win.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that the team like that will travel. But I certainly agree with you. It's not – I don't think the Rams, if they had the top seed, would have this huge home field advantage or the Chargers either.
Yeah, those, you know, L.A. teams may not.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Chargers, you know, won some big road games recently too. And, you know, the Chiefs obviously have a huge home field advantage too.
And that could be very interesting, right? If the NFC goes through the dome in New Orleans and the AFC goes through Kansas City, those are two of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. But we're still 2 weeks away from that. Let me ask you something here, Scotty. Drew Brees, outdoors, you know, division matchup, 23 of 35, 203 yards, one interception. That is not necessarily the stat line you were hoping for if you had Drew Brees. You know, I was facing Drew Brees in the semifinals, to be quite honest, and I had a big old lead. My opponent would have needed a career night out of Drew Brees, but he gets only like, you know, 4 or 5 points depending on your settings. Are you concerned about Drew Brees if they have to be outside, similar to say like Matt Ryan if they have to go outside?
I just think Drew Brees, whether it's outside or inside lately, the numbers haven't been there. I think this is like the fourth time in his last five games, you know, where he hasn't hit 250 yards passing. This team is all starting to morph back into what we saw last year, where they weren't really relying heavily on Brees, and the defense, you know, was playing really well. They haven't allowed more than 17 points in six consecutive games. So this team's almost morphing into something different. You know, we're so used to talking about Drew Brees as a gunslinger, but over like the past 5 weeks or so, he really hasn't been.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Listen, Alvin Kamara, 14 carries, 67 yards and a touch. Ingram with 12 carries, 63 yards. So they're kind of continuing to split those rushing duties. And we saw kind of the same names. Michael Thomas, although not the yardage you were expecting. You know, he didn't get going until later in the second half. Kamara gets his 7 catches as well. Who's the number two wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints? Or is it really Alvin Kamara, Scott?
It's really Alvin Kamara. You know, you see that they split him out a lot. I mean, technically, it is Traquan Smith, but he's not contributing anything, really.
Right.
You know, Kirkwood had a few good catches last night, but they don't have a number two wide receiver. You know, that's something that could end up hurting them in the postseason. It was a disappointing night for Michael Thomas. He had one catch for 5 yards at halftime.
Right.
And, you know, you were hoping for a much bigger game in week 15 of your fantasy football playoffs. He gave you decent totals, but I think you needed more than that. I think people were expecting more than that. He also had 3 catches, called back on penalties as well, but one of them involved him.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Listen, I was in a league in my semifinals. You're in this league also, Scott, where I had Michael Thomas in my semifinals, you know, and I got 12 points out of Michael Thomas. I wound up losing my semifinal matchup, Scott, by I think like 8 points. you know, and I got 12 out of Michael Thomas. There's plenty of games so far this season where I could have gotten another 8 that I needed from Michael Thomas, but unfortunately, you know, my team falls by the wayside in the semifinals, losing by about 8 points. We lost to my fantasy best friend forever, Frank Stanfill, who will keep it moving in a fantasy championship. So congratulations to him. Scotty, on the other side of things, I really want to ask you a few questions about these Panthers. Now, because at 6-8, maybe they fall by the wayside in terms of contending from the NFC title. I mean, for the NFC wildcard, I guess they're still technically, mathematically eliminated because they can finish 8-8. And right now, the sixth seed, I believe, is the Minnesota Vikings at 7-6-1.
Yes.
So they could technically, you know, there's a path where Minnesota and Philadelphia finish with 7 wins and the Panthers finish with 8. So I guess they are still mathematically alive. But, you know, one thing that I heard, a stat that I heard that was absolutely ridiculous is back to my man Christian McCaffrey, who about a few months ago, Scotty, I told you I can see as a top 5 pick. We had a little bit of a back and forth on that, but it seems like you're warming. They said on the telecast, Scott, that McCaffrey leads the Panthers in rushing yards, leads the Panthers in rushing touchdowns, also leads the team in receiving yards and in receiving touchdowns, something that has only been done twice in the last 50 years, once by Jamal Charles and once by a guy in the Buffalo Bills before O.J. Simpson, who I didn't know about. McCaffrey, 15 carries, 53 yards, and then another 8 catches for 67 yards. Scott, this guy is a stud. Are you potentially rethinking Mike Hall that he could be a top 5 PPR pick next year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you were right on that, and I was wrong. And, you know, but the one thing is, you know, the scoring doesn't come quite as often as some of these other elite running backs, but the amount of touches he gets is so insane. You know, even more than some of these top fantasy running backs. So, you know, outside of the top 3, which I would say would probably be, you know, Gurley, Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, you can make a strong case for him at number 4, I think.
Okay.
But you know, right now, you're looking at things right now, though, too.
Sure.
You know, this guy is the entire Carolina Panthers offense.
He really is the entire offense.
You know, if they're not handing the ball off to him, you know, he's coming out of the backfield on a flat pass, or even they're throwing to him on a slant. I don't think the Panthers want to have that kind of offense next year, where they're depending so much on one guy. So let's see what they do during the off season.
Sure.
Let's see what happens, you know, going into next year. But you know, I'd be very comfortable taking him 4th overall.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's the case for every player in the NFL, right? Like, their team will be different based on whatever moves happen in the offseason, trades, signings, retirements. Every offense will look a little bit different and will have some kind of implication on how you view them for fantasy. But as of right now, Christian McCaffrey, an absolute stud. Here's what I want to get into, though, with you, Scott. You say McCaffrey is the entire offense. I agree with you, right? In one of my fantasy Super Bowls, the guy that I'm playing against, his starting quarterback is Cam Newton. And I think I'm really excited to face Cam Newton next week. And let me tell you why, Scotty.
Does he have anybody else on his bench?
His other backup quarterback is someone who doesn't scare me. Let's just put it that way. I think Cam Newton's more hurt than he's letting on. I really do. Did you see some of those throws last night, Scotty? They just didn't look right. You know, Witten made the point, and Booger McFarland made the point about how Cam throws a lot from, like, his upper body. And if you look at this, you know, what we were talking about all season long when he was humming, Scott, was that kind of completion percentage, right? He was getting it out. Now, he's missing guys left and right. He went 16 of 29, 131 yards, and an interception. Scott, this Panthers offense, their entire total from last night was a Christian McCaffrey touchdown and a pick 2 that went back the other way, you know, on a 2-point conversion. I think this is an issue for Cam. His completion percentage has dropped ridiculously since the week where he really got hurt. I think it was week 13 in Tampa Bay. He's been grinding it out with his shoulder, but he hasn't thrown a touchdown in the last couple of weeks. And I think he's hurt, Scott.
Yeah, I think people have been saying that for weeks, and when I heard Steve Young confirm it last night, you know, former NFL quarterback say it, it's you know, you can really see it, but when you have somebody like that verify it, I think I think this is nothing new that anybody's been talking about, but just to hear him confirm it pretty much solidifies it for me. You know, he's throwing a lot with his upper body, but his mechanics have always been kind of wonky anyway. He's never been a great passer. When he had a good completion percentage early in the year, it's because, you know, throwing so many high percentage passes to McCaffrey and underneath, et cetera. But if you got into your fantasy Super Bowl with Cam Newton, you certainly lucked out, and it's not looking good for Week 16.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, my opponent has, you know, he deserves to be in the championship with a lot of other studs, you know, Christian McCaffrey among them. You know, he's had the Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey stack all season long. His wide receivers are Michael Thomas, Robert Woods, and Brandon Cooks. You know, he's doing just fine, and a valid opponent for my fantasy championship. I do think, so let me ask you this, though. I guess that won't happen because the Panthers are still mathematically eliminated. Do you think they would ever shut Cam down?
I think it could happen. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
you do think it could happen, even with them still technically alive
for the final week. Yeah,
for the final week.
No, if they'd lose again next week for like Week 17,
I
could see them shutting them down.
Yeah, I think it's very, very interesting, and it pained me to watch on some level. You know what I mean? I just thought it was. I was like, yo, this guy and Cam, the narrative all career long, he gets hit a ton, you know. And this question about are they personal fouls or not, that sort of thing. I feel like this guy, and you know, to me, it's like the Shaquille O'Neal effect, you know, where Shaq, because he was so big, you know, people just didn't call him as personal fouls, you know, and stuff like that. With Cam Newton and Big Ben, to a certain extent, they get banged up so much, and it's just like, you know, oh, they're fine, they can take it. But, you know, it's almost like these guys are human beings too. They should get cared for in the same way. And I really think there is something going on with Cam. But for the Panthers on the whole, Scott, what about this? They started at 6-2. Now, 6-game losing streak. They stand at 6-8. It completely unraveled. Do you expect to see other changes in Carolina?
You know, I think that's speculation that is really not out there. You know, Ron Rivera has been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's led this team to some very successful seasons.
Yep.
So I think I'd only be guessing. You know, right now I think they have to make some personnel changes more than anything. The defense really came to play last night. The offense
sure did.
Just wasn't capable. And we had heard this narrative, and, you know, I tried to shoot it down myself yesterday about, well, you know, the Panthers, you know, got a shot to win this game because, you know, they really need it, you know, and it, but they really need the last four or five games before that. You know, they're desperate. They've been desperate for about 3 or 4 weeks now. Nothing changed last night. The defense came to play. The offense is just not capable.
Yeah, I mean, they were in this game from, you know, the entire time, to be quite honest, but ultimately they do not get the W. Last thing I want to ask you about Carolina, Scott, and you know, we agree that Christian McCaffrey is this entire offense, right? But talk to me about the future of guys like DJ Moore, guys like Curtis Samuel, guys like Ian Thomas. If you want to know the truth, Scott, I think all three of those guys, along with McCaffrey, do have a future on this team. I do think DJ Moore has, you know, some of the explosive potential that they need in this offense, albeit he did fumble after a nice 22-yard run last night. You know, Curtis Samuel has some of that same kind of shake and bake. Ian Thomas has more of a agile move tight end as opposed to the big body target that Greg Olsen was. I think some of these guys do have a future with Carolina.
Well, I think they do, but I think they need to get another dynamic playmaker, I think, or somebody else the defense respects in that offense. I think if they got another wide receiver that defenses really fear or pay more respect to, I think, and then you got the depth of like Samuel and DJ Moore behind them, and Ian Thomas evolving. I think they need another playmaker in this offense, really.
And that playmaker certainly will not be Devin Funchess. Devin Funchess, I think, was targeted once, did not connect. I think he's emblematic and kind of a great figurehead for what the Panthers are not trying to do anymore. Do you think Funchess is long for this team? Because I think it's guys like Samuel and Moore. I don't think Funchess really has a place on this roster and what they're trying to do moving forward.
I think from an outside perspective, you can say that, but if they view him favorably internally and they want to keep him around for depth, et cetera, I don't know that they'll get rid of him necessarily.
All right. You know, Scotty, we'll go to the waiver wire in our next segment with a couple of minutes left. Are there any other injury news and notes that you saw yesterday that really kind of rank on your radar? Like I talked about Falcons putting Ito Smith. I talked about the Carson Wentz. I talked about kind of some of the Chargers. But listen, we got Lamar Miller. Also, it's kind of like day-to-day or week-to-week with his ankle. Cortland Sutton, we talked about. Tyler Boyd, we talked about. Any updates on these guys or kind of next man up potential that you want to think about before we talk more deeply about the waiver wire heading into week 16?
Yeah, it looks like Frank Gore is done for the last two games of the regular season and if they make the playoffs. So you know, some people are going to pick up Kalen Ballage this week, but I think that's really, really risky.
Yeah, we'll talk about this next segment. We'll dive on into the waiver wires. And Kalen Ballage might be one of the names, but I have some others. So here's what we'll do, Scotty. Tell me if this is okay with you. When I talk about the running backs, we'll use Kalen Ballage, you know, kind of as like the marker, the litmus test. And we'll ask for other players, like, would you take them over Kalen Ballage on the waiver wire? Or would you take Kalen Ballage over those people? We'll use Kalen Ballage as the litmus test. How's that sound?
Yeah, we can play that game, yeah.
Okay, that's what I like to hear. And so once again, congratulations to my man, the King, Scott Engel, who is in Fantasy Super Bowls in the Greenwich Street Tavern League, a league that I was in as well. And I want to give a shout-out to our staff league. It looks like, Scotty, it looks like it will be dominated by the best friends forever. It looks like it's Frank Stanfill up against Greg Sussman in our other staff league for the morning after.
Yeah, and the GST... I am back in the Super Bowl for the second consecutive year to defend my title, and proud to say that in 10 of my leagues, I made the playoffs in 7, made the quarterfinals in 6, and I am in 5 fantasy Super Bowls this week.
That's fantastic, Scotty. I am in 2 fantasy Super Bowls, and, you know, hey, that means I'm still in position to try to win my league and win that cash. When we come back on the other side of the break, Scott, we're going to start to dive into the waiver wire. So for everybody who is still eligible to potentially win their league, maybe they did have some injuries, Lamar Miller, Frank Gore among them. We'll tell you how to support that running back position. Maybe you had Tyler Boyd go down. Maybe you had Keenan Allen go down. We'll tell you how to support that wide receiver position. The story is a little bit grimmer when it comes to quarterback or tight end, but we'll focus on those other skill positions to get you ready for your fantasy championship if you, in fact, need the help. It's Dane and Scott, Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Coming right back after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you like to wager on sports or never have and would like to try, head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of, including sides, totals, and player props, where you can utilize DFS skills without salary cap constraints. You can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. Get an edge with live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually at any time during a contest. You can capitalize on in-game action. There's so many ways you can make money. Go to BetDSI. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up. You get 100% bonus deposit match. That's promo code FNTSY101. BetDSI, where players get paid. Scotty, when I do that read all the time with Blewett, he laughs because, you know, I'm all over reality TV and Survivor. And tomorrow, Scott, is the season finale of Survivor. They start with 20 people. They are down to 6. I made a pick a long time ago, and my guy is still one of the 6 left eligible to win the title of Survivor. So listen, you can listen to Roto Experts in the Morning and get that football insight, get basketball DFS insight. You could even, like BetDSI says, you can bet on anything, even reality TV. And I got the analysis for you, Scotty. My man Nick, I think, could take it home tomorrow night in Survivor. You have any analysis on that, Scott?
No, I don't watch the show.
Nah, that's unfortunate, Scott. But it's okay. Anyway, we said we were going to go to...
If you like it, that's fine. I don't feel like I'm missing nothing.
It's all good, Scott. I'm making a joke.
At this time of year, too, it's like I don't have much time to watch television. But when I do, it's like you're going to laugh. It's like I'll watch Ballers. I'll watch Judge Judy because I'm addicted to it. And, you know, I was watching The Walking Dead up until a certain point when a certain character left the show. And since the character left the show, I haven't been able to watch it.
Okay, well, don't spoil it for me. I don't need to know who that character is. But, you know, you got your taste, and that's all good, Scotty. It was merely a transition to talk about where we were going to focus on here for this segment, which is, in fact, the waiver wire. Now, here's my first thing with any of the names that we are talking about and any of their potential. Okay, this is your championship. So, generally speaking, are you going to take a guy from off the street and plug in? I believe, Scott, your situation, and obviously everything is relative to your options, but I believe you need to be in dire straits or really, really like one of these guys. I think I'm going to generally, all things being equal, Scott, I think I'm going to lean to the guys I've already prepared with and already kind of have on my roster than any of these guys who may prove to be next man up like this week. Do you agree?
To a certain point, you know, I'm not going to start him at RB1 and maybe RB2 if I pick up a Jamal Williams, say, but you know, I think a lot of people are dealing with uncertainty at their flex situations, and you know that's where a guy like Jamal Williams can come off the waiver wire and maybe help you.
Yep, so we shall see. Let's first talk at the quarterback position, Scott, because honestly, at the quarterback position, I think you really need to have prepared for this already. We've been giving you names for the last couple of weeks, you know, and in two quarterback leagues, most quarterbacks are done. There were no, that I remember, huge injuries to quarterbacks, so the quarterback kind of universe is the same as it was last week, and we told you all the guys. You know, here's what I will say, though, that I think is interesting, Scott, and it's going back to some of the same quote-unquote safe floors that we've been talking about. In the last month, Scott, did you know that Lamar Jackson is fifth in the NFL, not among quarterbacks, but just straight up in the NFL, in rushing yards with 427 rushing yards in the last month? And Josh Allen is 10th in the NFL in rushing yards over the last month with 351 rushing yards. And that's even after only 19 last week in week 15. These guys are both top 10 in the NFL in rushing yards over the last month. To me, that offers a very safe floor for some of these quarterbacks. Now, they're probably owned, but if for some reason you're struggling or have any kind of ideas, I'm going with these two guys with the safe rushing floor, Scott.
I think most teams that advance to their fantasy Super Bowl probably have a quarterback that they want to count on more than Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, or they probably picked these guys up already and probably have the streaming option. It's very hard for me to envision a scenario. I'm not saying it doesn't, but I would say in the greater majority of leagues, or like I would estimate like 90 to 95% of leagues, these guys just aren't a free agency for you to pluck. If you have Cam Newton, if they froze your rosters, you know, maybe you don't have a good backup and that's your own fault. But I think any smart fantasy owner who's gotten this far, if they had Cam Newton, they've already picked up a Jackson or an Allen.
Right, or you know, some of the other names that came available over the last month or so. So there's not really much to talk about when it comes to the quarterbacks. I would honestly say similarly, Scott, there's not much for me to talk about when it comes to the tight end position either. We've been talking about the tight end position ad nauseum. I don't think there were any big kind of tight end injuries. We knew Jordan Reed was already out. I didn't see any real tight end issues per se in the injuries last week. So, you know, you probably have already organized yourself for tight end as well. And I don't see any new names coming off the radar. Ian Thomas, we've talked about the Jalen Samuels bit for a little while already, right? So do you have any nuggets at tight end for the waiver wire, or should we really focus our attention on running back and wide receiver?
I still think that in some leagues that Chris Herndon might be out there. And this guy can give you like a good 8 to 12 points a week in a PPR. You know, just people keep rolling some of these tight ends out there who are like, and treating them like kickers because they know the name. They keep throwing them out there like Kyle Rudolph really doesn't produce anything anymore. If he's still surviving, you still have Kyle Rudolph. You know, pick up a Chris Herndon instead. You know, you'll at least get like seven to 10 points where you might not even get that from Rudolph anymore.
Okay, and Jimmy,
same thing with Jimmy Graham too.
Okay, yeah. Let's look at the running backs, though, right? Because you may have, let's say, you could be a championship caliber team, and you may have lost, say, Aaron Jones as an RB2, right? You may have had Lamar Miller as a flex play. You know, you may have had some of these guys. You may, you know, still have guys like a Melvin Gordon, like a James Conner, like a Spencer Ware, like a Kerryon Johnson, and it's uncertain whether or not they will return for you when you need them, right? So let's talk a little bit about some of the running backs that might be available. We started with Kalen Ballage, right? And Kalen Ballage, it looks like, so let me ask you this, Scott, if there's no Frank Gore, how are the Dolphins going to play this running back situation? Is this like Ballage is the lead back and Drake remains as the change of pace? Or does Drake kind of slide into the A side of this timeshare and Ballage is the change of pace? How do you think this plays out in Miami without Frank Gore?
I don't think we have an indication yet on who the lead, quote, running back is going to be necessarily, but I would look for it just workload-wise to be some sort of timeshare here with Ballage playing some sort of the Gore role. You know, it could be end up being a 50-50 split here.
Okay. Ballage is only 1% owned in leagues going into this. You know, he was not on many people's radar, so he is probably widely available. Let me ask you this, Scotty. Elijah McGuire, still only owned in 35% of leagues. If you needed to, and let's accept that premise, if you needed to, would you rather Kalen Ballage or Elijah McGuire?
I would say Elijah McGuire because I feel like I know what kind of workload he's going to get.
Okay.
And, you know, watching him last week, it's, you know, we hear a lot of hype on Elijah McGuire, but I think he's better suited to play a part-time role than just a lead running back. You didn't see him break off anything big last week. He's not afraid to be physical, and he did get a touchdown, but I feel like Elijah McGuire is more exciting when they use him in a complimentary role as a running back. He doesn't strike me as the type of guy, and I've seen him get an opportunity or two before where if they give him the lead role, then he's going to put up any sort of spectacular numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be quite honest, that's the way the Jets view him as well. Remember, he was behind Isaiah Crowell, behind Bilal Powell originally, but now he's kind of been pressed into more action. You say it all the time.
Yeah, you got to remember that sometimes. You know, sometimes these guys are better as part-time or rotational or satellite backs, and when they're asked to step up, it just might be a little much for them.
Yeah, no, I hear you. What about Jamal Williams? Scotty, is he at the top of the food chain here? We talk Kalen Ballage, Elijah McGuire. Would you rather have Jamal Williams ahead of all these guys, given the fact that if there's no Aaron Jones, he will look like to be the lead dog, whether they sign Capri Bibbs or not, and they have a decent matchup against the Jets this week?
Yeah, I think so. You know he's going to be the number one running back, and maybe the Packers continue to lean a little bit more in the running game than they do in the past because just of all the lack of depth at the wide receiver one and take some pressure off Aaron Rodgers. He's definitely a viable flex play this week.
Okay, let me ask you one more name. I mean, his ownership percentage has shot up 40 percentage points in the last 2 weeks, and I'm not saying he's available necessarily, Scott, but Derrick Henry is owned in what I see. You should check other formats, but what I'm seeing is Derrick Henry is owned in 83% of leagues, which means that in 1 in 5, you can grab Derrick Henry, who's had over 400 yards in the last 2 weeks. Maybe in your league, someone didn't believe in him after the 238 effort on Thursday Night Football. He's owned in 83% of leagues. So I'm saying, obviously, just give it a check. And you never know. You may find a gold mine in Derrick Henry.
I think there's a long shot of doing that at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, why not check, you know, in a league that's maybe not highly competitive, but I would say in the greater majority of leagues, he's probably gone already.
Yep, you never know. The other point I'll make about running backs, like when you were all excited about Damian Williams, when you were all excited about, you know, Justin Jackson, their potential may get sapped dramatically this week with guys like Melvin Gordon, guys like Spencer Ware potentially coming back. Same thing for maybe a Jalen Samuels, maybe if you were riding with LeGarrette Blount in Detroit as well, right? It's just important to know that some of the big boy starters are potentially coming back this week, and that impacts some of the viability of someone like a Damian Williams or a Justin Jackson.
I would still like Damian Williams as a flex because I feel like he's the speedier, you know, open space back of the two, and I think that kind of running back can give Seattle more trouble than a Spencer Ware.
What about a Justin Jackson? Are you still rolling out with him if Melvin Gordon comes back?
No, no way.
Not at all.
Okay. And what about, let's say James Conner comes back from the Pittsburgh Steelers is what they say may happen. What about if you've been using Jalen Samuels as your tight end? Do you still use Jalen Samuels as your tight end if Conner returns this week against New Orleans?
I don't think you can do it any confidence. You don't know what his snap count's going to be like whatsoever.
All right, fair enough. And then, Scotty, let's look at the wide receiver position, okay? Let's say you lost to Keenan Allen and you need to move. Listen, your boy Foster in Buffalo, right? Now that's 3 weeks in a row, and Scotty, he's still only 15 to 20% owned. Is he the standard of someone you're looking to pick up potentially this week at wide receiver?
Yeah, it's like unless a guy is like an eight-game sample size, people just don't want to believe because of the pedigree. Undrafted free agent came off the practice squad in week 10. But in four or five games, he's got 94 yards or above. You know, it's time to believe and slip this guy in as a number three wide receiver. I don't think he's – what else does he have to do to prove it right now at this point? I don't think there is a lot of times, like, people just – they don't know the name enough. They consider him a nobody. And, you know, they don't want to risk it. Or the Bills just have a reputation of you don't want to mess with them as a passing offense, but this guy has been completely getting it done. They play New England this week. I think there'll be another big play opportunity or two.
Okay, fair enough. So Foster's the standard right here. Let me ask you a couple of other names. You know, because Foster I only see as like 15% owned, so you could still grab onto him. A guy that I see as around 25% owned right now, talk to me about Robbie Anderson on the Jets. Would you take a flyer on Robbie Anderson or Foster?
I probably lean a little bit towards Foster, but I think it's very close. All of a sudden, you know, Robbie Anderson has reemerged, kind of like he did late last season, and he's playing very well right now with Sam Darnold, and he has, you know, he scored 2 weeks in a row, and that Packers pass defense can certainly be burned. So I'm okay with Robbie Anderson, who's only owned in 18.1% of ESPN leagues.
So there you go. The number I had was around 25%, so that was even higher owned in the Yahoo format. One other name is much higher owned for me, Scott. He's around 50% owned. Maybe check the percentage where you are. Listen, if you lost Keenan Allen, what about Mike Williams? You know, this guy is clearly a target in the red zone, Scotty. And if there's no Keenan Allen and still no Hunter Henry, you know, I think this could be a wide receiver one for the Chargers that just fell in your lap. I have Mike Williams as 51% owned. What about you?
I have him as 29% owned in ESPN. A lot of people gave up on him, although they.
I would have Mike Williams even over Foster.
I don't think I would, and I'll tell you why. You know, he had a big game last week, but you know, I think they adjusted on the fly. And this week, he asked me to be the number one wide receiver. Is he capable of stepping up and doing that? I'm not so sure. Plus, they play Baltimore, too. So, you know, a guy like that, you know, it's essentially been his rookie year. And he could easily turn into a stinker this upcoming week.
So how would you – it sounds like you would rank them Foster, then Robbie, then Williams. Is that correct?
That's the way I would probably go. Yep.
Okay. The other wide.
Actually, I'd probably go Robbie Anderson, Robert Foster, Mike Williams, but the first two are really close for me.
Okay, so Anderson.
It's almost like, you know, you're just looking at them for 1 week, so you take the matchups into account, and I really like that Green Bay matchup for Robbie Anderson.
Okay, but I would say all three of them are viable. If you're like you said, if
they're
like
all viable,
if you lost Keenan Allen. You know what I mean? If you, I think he's the only kind of, if you think Cortland Sutton's, you know, if you lost Tyler Boyd, if you lost Keenan Allen, if you lose Cortland Sutton or think that his thigh issue is really an issue, a big problem, these are three viable wide receivers that you can plug and play. How would you put the Broncos guys, Patrick and Hamilton, in with these three, Scotty?
I think Patrick has like a nice floor. But really no upside, so I probably put him fourth. But I really like Deshaun Hamilton. They're throwing to him in all kinds of situations.
And he's
only 24.1% owned, and he plays the Raiders this week. I'd probably put Deshaun Hamilton at the top of the list.
Interesting. Okay, so listen, Scotty, it's not usual that you could be in trouble in week, 16 and literally have legitimate options. Like, I think these guys, the Denver guys, Foster, Robbie Anderson, Mike Williams, these are guys that can return just as much value as, you know, wide receiver threes you've had all season long. So you're pretty lucky to be in that situation. Are there any other wide receivers that are on your list?
I think we've exhausted most of it, really.
Okay, the other thing I'll say, and in the same way that I say Derrick Henry is in the 80s, you know what I mean, Scott? So, like, worth a check. Can you do me a favor and check in your ESPN formats that I have them as 80% or better, but two guys that owners may have given up on. Can you check the ownership percentage of Alshon Jeffrey and Doug Baldwin, Scott? Because I think those are guys that people also may have given up on and I think could be, you know, could be viable assets for you in a plug-in situation. Talk to me about Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey, 88.8% owned.
Okay, so 1 in 10 chance of having him available.
I really think, though, when you're talking about something above like 85%, you know, I would say 15% of those public leagues might not be active or people are not
right,
playing
but you still competitive got, still league anymore. It's still worth a check.
I think there's like a 1 in 50 chance they'll be,
yeah,
be available.
So maybe you're that one and it helps you win your cash. Like, that's important. What about Baldwin,
Scott?
Baldwin,
77.8. I can see that more because people have cut him recently.
All right, we'll be back on the other side of the break. Fantasy Sports Today. We'll keep digging into this. Dane and Scott.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The only free 24/7 fantasy sports radio network.